October is here, and it gets very interesting now. A big week last week in the SEC and in the ACC, and this week will certainly be no different.
And he forgot to mention, you do save rabbits as well. So
that too.
Yes,
there we go.
As well from pool drains. And hopefully that hasn't happened in a while, Brent.
It has, and I'm grateful for that. They've taken the year off, which probably is good for them.
Well, let's get into – we have a lot to talk about, obviously, and where to start. But for Florida, you cover the Gators and the situation. You know, you lose a game, Kentucky storms the field, they win, get the 76-yard block kick. But is this more about, to me, play calling? Based on, you know, Emory Jones was a quarterback that fit more of a mold of Dan Mullen's system. But you had a defense that actually played well. I mean, if you look at Levis's stats and some of the guys, it wasn't great. It was just – that Florida didn't capitalize or make any big plays. And you got Anthony Richardson, you know, that is shown that he can make the big play. I know the Emory Jones situation, the last couple weeks has been good. But, Brent, is it ready for a change? Because the people that are calling for Dan Mullen's head, let's just calm down. But at the same time, that play calling did look very anemic.
There's no reason to make any kind of change, and that's not going to happen. Understand that Gator fans are not happy with two losses way before you get to Halloween, but there are really some difficult things that happened in this game. First of all, the 15 penalties were atrocious, the most that Florida had in a single game since 2011 when they lost to Tennessee. The Anthony Richardson situation really rings true with a lot of folks because Emory Jones really did not have any kind of pass beyond 20 yards. The last drive of the game, it's amazing, isn't it, Chad, how Florida hurt itself constantly and still they're sitting on the 9-yard line with a chance to be able to win the game. And Jones throws into triple coverage where if a lot of people probably missed this, but the tight end was wide open over the middle. So we know they're able to run the ball. But I think the other problem here, Chad, is, and to his credit, he said a little bit of this today, Dan Mullen said that the penalties were on him. But one thing that really frustrates Florida fans is in a game like that, that Mullen will not take enough responsibility in a loss to admit things that are his fault. I don't know if the coach will ever admit that he was out-coached, and frankly, Mark Stoops out-coached him in this game, but at the same time, a Gator fan, I'm sure you're hearing it, would like to have Mullen take much more responsibility than he does.
Looking right now at the Alabama Crimson Tide in the game, they go out and really you could see it was night or day when it comes to the athletes. They're just better athletes. There's not much they can do from Ole Miss's standpoint. But what did you take from that game? Because I feel like there's two things working here. Alabama knows if they win out or even get to the SEC title game and even lost to Georgia, they're probably in the playoff. But when it comes down to Bryce Young, he continues to get better. I think, Brent, he's looked a lot better since the game against Florida, and I think that shows a lot about how good and what he's capable of doing because everybody's going to face adversity in life. It's what you do when the challenges are thrown your way. And Bryce Young has come back and looked really good in two straight weeks since the almost loss to Florida.
The Florida loss probably helped Alabama as much as anything else because it exposed some areas that they needed to work on. But they were really extremely good in this game. I mean, got out to basically 28-0 early on and just buried Ole Miss. I mean, the defense, frankly, 7 stops and 10 possessions. Look, to hold Ole Miss at 21 points is really difficult to do. Now, some difficult news today for Alabama, Chase McClellan's out for the year with a knee injury, so they've got to actually find an emergency running back. I mean, they've got a lot of guys who I think will. They ran the ball 50 times, the most since they beat Tennessee in 2017. And they've got A&M team Saturday night at 8 o'clock on CBS that frankly is going in the opposite direction in a whole lot of ways. But Bryce Young right now very quietly is a Heisman candidate. He was 20 of 26 against Ole Miss and frankly outplayed Matt Corral, which is not easy to do. But look, it, as you mentioned, Alabama and Georgia are the two best teams in the country, and frankly, after that, it's not even close.
Yeah, there's that big gap between 1 and 2 and everybody else, and it seems like this is one of those years where we might see one or two teams who are having their first college football playoff berth, but it's interesting how we always predict, and it seems this way, Brent, that I know before the season started, I mean, everybody had that Texas A&M-Alabama game circled on their calendars, and now the way that A&M is going, like you said, and how Alabama looks, I mean, I don't even know if this is going to be much of a contest come Saturday night. I think Jimbo will try to do his best, but given the way both teams have looked, I don't even know if A&M has got a legitimate chance, I would say, to win this game.
Well, you're always concerned when you're playing a desperate team, as A&M is. What is wrong with A&M? Well, Zach Calzada, 12 of 20 for 135, so they're having trouble throwing the ball, even though you've got a situation where they've got tremendous weapons in Isaiah Spiller, Devon Achane, among others. But you've also got a lot of problems with the offensive line. I mean, it was announced just today that their center, Luke Matthews, is undergoing surgery. He's out for the year. So, he has been kind of day-to-day all season as it goes along. So, point well taken. A very disappointing A&M team, and you could almost say that at this juncture, guys, in the season, A&M may be the most disappointing team in the league, if not the nation.
Do you think that Arkansas is going to be able to rebound? Obviously, a really tough loss against a great Georgia team, but they've got a tough schedule, a tough few weeks ahead of them.
They've got one of the toughest schedules anywhere. There's no question about that. Now, Georgia just overwhelmed them from the get-go, and the moment was too big for them. They couldn't handle that. And because of it, they were shut out, which was surprising, frankly. But still, I think Arkansas gets a lot of credit. KJ Jefferson's a good quarterback. Treylon Smith is very good. Treylon Burks is too. So I think what you've got here is you could still make an argument that Arkansas is very possibly, along with Kentucky, still maybe the number three team in the league.
When you look right now, Brent, at what we've seen, the Stetson Bennett and talking about JT Daniel and going forward, you know, is this going to be a battle? I know we've talked about when one guy has been hurt and the other guy comes in, but do you think it's going to be more of a quarterback battle than they're making it?
They're so good all around that right now, until they played in Alabama, that they could still win games, even with Bennett. I mean, Bennett was only 7-11 for 72, but at the same time, they were able to run the ball so well behind that offensive line. And their defense is so good right now. They just overwhelm teams. They'll beat Auburn. I mean, Auburn had a nice win with Bo Nix running around in the backfield against LSU. But now, I tell you what, it's going to be very interesting for Georgia is next week they're going to play Kentucky that frankly is going to push them. And I think right now they probably need that. But eventually JT Daniels will be fine and he'll be able to play. And man, oh man, that just makes him even more dangerous.
Brent, when you look at LSU and the game against Auburn, Bo Nix has a great drive downfield. He made some big plays. He's a quarterback that's had an up-and-down season. Auburn, I think, if you watch them every single snap, you realize that this is it's a decent team, but this isn't one of the better teams they've had. LSU should have won that football game if they were probably better coached and they made smarter decisions down the stretch. But there's a lot of questions going on for both these teams. What did you take from the game Saturday night, as many people were exhausted from watching so much football?
Absolutely. The game starting at 9 o'clock. Yeah. Now Nix, to his credit, nearly 250 passes without an interception. And I mean, he played well. There's no doubt. Ran for 74, threw for 255. But at the same time, they've got maybe the best back in the league in Tank Bigsby. So why they don't run him more, frankly, is just incredulous to me, because they're going to need him. Defense is good enough to keep them in the game. And LSU right now is so disoriented. Listen, their running game is non-existent. I don't know if we've ever seen a LSU running game that is as bad as this is, frankly. So, and LSU, and think about this a minute, LSU's 3-2, and they've got Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, Arkansas, and A&M left to play.
That's going to be crazy. At this point, I think what we need to realize with the SEC in general right now is that it's pretty much wide open, and you got Alabama and Georgia that you don't want to mess with, and then you have Vanderbilt that you do. And outside of that, everything in the middle is a week-to-week basis.
Well, it is. Now, look, that still doesn't mean that you've got some teams with some improvement. Tennessee really played well against Missouri, but Missouri could Missouri can stop the three of us and whoever's walking on the sidewalk outside the studio right now. How bad they are offensively. Mississippi State, frankly, had a big win over A&M that they are off this week too. It's a fascinating league right now with where it is going. I think the big thing is going to be is what's going to happen after to come up with some kind of a third team. And I think again that's going to be probably, at this point, either Arkansas or Kentucky, which is amazing in many ways.
Brent, just because you are in Jacksonville, bringing this up, the whole Urban Meyer situation, I'm not getting into details, or frankly, at this point, it shouldn't shock anybody to see Urban Meyer doing something that brings up attention in the news. But when it comes down to this, what are you hearing from Jacksonville? This is an NFL deal. He's not going to lose his job, but it's not a good look either. But what's the key? Because do you feel in your heart that Urban Meyer is going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar coach either next season or before the year is done?
Well, look, to me, if he loses his job, it's not going to be because of any kind of a morals clause or his conduct, even though it was a bad look, and there's no question about that. But I'll say this, the leash just got shorter, frankly. I mean, he lost a lot of respect with his team, and as one of the former players said here on television and radio today, that how can he tell his players to behave and to not get in trouble? And he doesn't have that weapon with him right now. They lost Cincinnati on field goal at the last play of the game. They played a little bit better, but and they've got a mad Tennessee Titan team coming in, and Derrick Henry will probably run all over them. So they're closing in on 20 straight losses, and this year, frankly, already has been abysmal. But look, with Urban, either his behavior or the losses, he could leave here or get fired a lot sooner than we think he might.
Well, Brent, there's, you know, college football right now. We got a couple big teams right now out of the Big Ten and the SEC, and I think Cincinnati, a legit shot now that they beat Notre Dame to be the first non-Power 5 team in. So pretty exciting.
I hope that they would have an opportunity. Chad, I'll be honest with you, though. I would still have to see the committee put them in to believe it.
Yeah, me too. There's going to be those people, just like Hall of Fame baseball writers, that will go ahead and vote them in just because. You know what? Like, they'll be like, that's great. Sure. It doesn't matter at all. Like, they'll pretty much say your win against Tulsa, your win against Navy, your win against UCF, especially now that Gabriel's out, it means nothing to them. Like, nothing. When that's not fair.
Right.
But, you know, that's where they're going to look at it. And I hope I hope that they can get in, because I think it would be a win for everybody if you saw a team get a shot. And this would be the year, right? I mean, we've all made it pretty clear that we believe that Alabama and that Georgia are the best teams. So who's to say? If you had to pick right now between Iowa and Cincinnati, I couldn't give you a winner of that. I think that's a good game.
Right.
I mean, that's let's see it. But let's Brent, we could talk for everything for hours right now. Let's just go ahead and say thank you for your time, for everything today, my friend, and we'll do it next week.
Good. Look forward to it.